we gather for our weekly meeting. Lord, we just continue to want to focus on you, God, and put you in the first place, God, in the front seat. We want you to have the first place, God, in our midst and in our lives. We want you to have the center stage, God, the center place in our heart, in our spirit, God, that we would become so forgetful of ourselves, Lord. I'm very mindful of you. It's my prayer for us, Lord, let us become so forgetful of ourselves and so mindful of you. When we love someone truly more than we love ourselves, we think of them first. And so, Lord, I ask you for true love. We would love you truly.
Yes, Lord.
We would love you truly so much, Jesus, God, so Jesus. Much that we forget about ourselves, which is so hard to do.
Let us go.
Let us be so forgetful of ourselves, Lord. Let us not even think about ourselves.
Jesus.
Let us get over ourselves.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. You went to the cross so we could forget about ourselves. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just have a short thing this morning. Thank you, Lord. I usually, whenever I have a birthday, I usually don't want to, like, think that it's my birthday. I try to forget that it is my birthday, and I kind of am mad when people remember that it's my birthday, because then I have to think that it's my birthday, because I'd rather not think I'm getting another year older. And so I'm usually in denial about my birthday, but today's my birthday. And so this year is different than all the other years, because this is my Zechariah chapter 4 year. I'm 55. This is my grace to the mountain of human obstacles year. The year of breakthrough. So I'm just bringing it up and facing it straight on. Today is my birthday.
There you go.
There you go. And I'm going to go for it all that I can for Zechariah chapter 4. I've prayed this thousands of times. Grace to the mountain of human obstacles. That whole chapter is about building the prayer room. And how much have we prayed for the mountain to be leveled, right? The mountain of human obstacles to be leveled, that the house of prayer would rise up in the earth. That is the chapter. That's the chapter. The Lord gave me that chapter before the house of prayer, even like when we were first having meetings about the house of prayer, before I even knew really what Zechariah chapter 4, what was even in that chapter. He gave me Zechariah chapter 4 before, I think it was even before our first meeting that we had regarding the house of prayer here. He said, Zechariah chapter 4. And I read that and I was like, wow, this is so important. So, I know every prayer room in the world prays Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. I told Dan, I said... He's like, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I want you to make me a mountain cake and I want to hit it with a baseball bat. I said, no, don't really do that, but that would be so satisfying, just to have a mountain, you know, and level that thing. So that's what's in my heart. But I wanted to share just a page out of Count Zinzendorf that I'm reading, and it has to do with 1 Corinthians 13, which we prayed into this morning. I'm gonna grab this. Right, he's talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in this passage. And
So see if you can follow this. I think you'll get it after a minute. It's kind of cutting in the middle of the chapter, but he's saying the two parts, the apostle says, will cease in time. Then nothing more will have to be believed, for it will be seen. Nothing more will have to be hoped, for it will actually be enjoyed. And therefore, everything which is now distinguished from love under the names of faith and hope will converge in love. But in the time in which we live, and in the time of faith and hope, all the rest is still included under the word love. In the word love, faith is understood. In the word love, hope is understood. Thus, the apostle explained once in another place what he meant, after making an extensive comment on how blessed, how experienced and strong believers ought to be. He then says finally, and all this in love, 1 Corinthians 16. Let us love him, says John, for he has first loved us. And in a certain place, the Savior says of the woman, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Therefore, she loves much. And when Peter had denied him three times and had bound himself with an oath, the Savior did not then say to him, now, do you believe in me? Rather, he only asked him, do you love me? With this, he included everything, for otherwise he would have had to ask three times, do you believe in me? Do you love me? Do you hope for salvation? But the Savior included everything in the word love. Do you love me? Peter did not explain himself further regarding anything else. He did not say, dear Lord, I believe. But rather he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And the Savior, well satisfied with the quality, this qualification, immediately invested Peter as the shepherd of his people. That was enough for him. Only love, only continue to love me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Therefore, Paul says that the highest perfection of a Christian is to know him, as one is known by him. Oh, dear friends, do not imagine that we know the Savior. We begin to know him only when we have loved him very tenderly. When we have loved him first, above all things. When for us nothing more in the world is in competition with him. When we have forgotten ourselves on account of him, our health, our life, our possessions and goods, our enjoyment, for reputation in the world is indeed not the prime point at issue. When we have forgotten ourselves with body and life out of love toward him, and can at certain times out of love toward him be angry with ourselves, then I say a small beginning of the knowledge of him is responsible. It comes because we recognize that he has laid down his life for us. And our whole life consists in the increasing and the growing in this knowledge, so that we know him better today than yesterday, in a year know him better, a year better, in 20 years, 20 years better, and in eternity, an eternity better than now. This is the great science. This is the great knowledge, without limit and end, the inexhaustible knowledge. In him and in his person lies hidden a treasure of wisdom and knowledge which cannot be fathomed or exhausted. So that pretty much sums it all up, doesn't it? Pretty much sums it all up. Reading this Count Zinzendorf book, it's so good. And I mean, part of it, he's saying, you can even trace in the apostles' writings, from their early writings when they first, like the early earlier writings to the later writings. If you just look at John, for instance, his early writings, John chapter 1, he's talking about, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and he has this amazing theological discourse, right? And at the end of the book of Revelation, it comes down to a wedding and such a simplicity. It's all summed up in simple love. And so even in my own life, when I was in my 20s, I was so into theology, and I love to have theological discussions with people, and we could go on for hours talking about free will versus predestination and all of the things, right? I enjoy all the conversations. But as I get older, the more older I get, it really just comes down to the profound love of God displayed on the cross, the very simple gospel message that a child can understand. But it's so profound, why do we need to even think about anything else? It kind of makes all the theological discussions seem sort of stupid and irrelevant. You know, because it's all summed up in He loved me and He gave Himself up for me. And so I want to love Him back. And it's like the older I get, the more I just want to think about that one truth, the simple truth of the gospel, and that how that sums up everything. It's so simple, but so profound. And why do I even want to think about anything else? So that's what this prayer room is about. And my prayer is that this room, along with thousands and thousands of other rooms like this room, would become burning incense of love to the Lord, where people can come in and play their guitar. They might not have a perfect voice, but if they have a heart of love, oh, that incense is so heavenly. It so pleases the Father. It ascends to the throne. My prayer is that this house will become a burning house of love. Amen. Where the incense is a pure offering.
Yes.
It's a pure offering. And the prayer rooms of the earth would be that way. That we would get a bigger vision than whatever we have right now. We would get a much bigger vision of just adoring the Lord in the profound simplicity that He gave Himself up. He loved us. He gave Himself for us. And we don't get over that. Every trial becomes, how can I join myself to You, Lord, and to the cross? How can I know You better? How can I respond to this trial? Because You love me and gave Yourself up for me. So Lord, I just thank You for these simple truths, God. And I pray for this community, Lord. This would be our Zechariah chapter 4 year, God. A breakthrough year that the mountain would come down. The mountain of human obstacles. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. But our response to them is so different. Our response to trials, tribulations, and obstacles becomes, oh, this is good. It means I can love Jesus in this and grow even more. God, I pray that our perspective would be so different. Everything becomes a way to know God more, deeper, more love,
yes,
deeper knowledge, more abandonment, everything.
Yes.
Even our sufferings become a joy because now I know Jesus even more. And God, I pray that as people walk in and out of this room, they get a revelation of who You are, a perspective shift, God, whereas they might have been focused on themselves, which all of us are, and all of our problems, let the perspective shift to, wow, now I can know God even deeper. Let the perspective shift.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a revelation, Lord, even as they walk in and out of this room. Thank You, Lord. churches and prayer meetings and people who are seeking you and trying to pray, God, in any way. God, you said my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Lord, it's your heart and desire that every church have a prayer culture. And so we ask you for that, God. Let every church get a vision and a revelation, Lord, of having a prayer culture. Getting back to the very simple gospel message and loving you for what you did on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good.